In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Even in death, he prepares the way. This cousin of Jesus who was sent to prepare the way for the Lord, to make straight paths for him, to proclaim that the kingdom of heaven has come near, was put to death and beheaded by Herod. Now Jesus is making waves where John once was, and accounts of him are spreading to Herod. Jesus is doing what John had prepared the way for, so Herod thinks that Jesus is John back from the dead. It should come as no surprise. John was about his divine task even before he was born. After receiving Gabriel's message, Mary visits her relative Elizabeth, who is herself miraculously pregnant. When Mary arrives, she greets Elizabeth, who feels John leap in her womb. Here is John announcing that the Savior of the world, though not yet visible, is in his mother's presence. The kingdom of heaven is near, John was saying without words. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Elizabeth replies, calling her relative the mother of her Lord. Of course, he continued in that task in the wilderness. There in the wilderness, he says to the masses that assembled that they should repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, because the kingdom of heaven is near. As he was baptizing and preaching in the wilderness, Jesus went to him to be baptized. John points him out and proclaims, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He is pointing to the Christ and, in essence, announcing the nearness of the kingdom of heaven. There it is, walking in the flesh. Jesus goes on his way, but John continues about the task for which he was sent. He continues to proclaim in the wilderness that the kingdom of heaven is near, that therefore people need to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. In doing so, Herod is singled out in Mark as having done something which John preached against. Herod had married his brother's wife, which was not lawful for him to have done. Herod had him arrested, and even though he was afraid of him, he protected him. Herod liked to listen to him despite his fear. It can be assumed that John continued to preach what he had always preached, repentance and baptism for the forgiveness of sins, because the kingdom of heaven is near. However, Herod's wife, didn't like John because of this proclamation, especially against her and her new husband. She sought to have him killed. She wanted him out of the picture. That's the thought. If the problem is out of sight and mind, then it is corrected. If one can force the silence of an opponent, it proves to them that they are right and gives them grounds to prove to others that they are right. If John can no longer preach against her, then she and Herod are justified in having gotten married. The opportunity presented itself to have John killed. Herod promised to his daughter anything that she wanted for having entertained his birthday guests so well. Not sure what to ask for, she approaches her mother, who makes the request for John's head on a platter. Saddened at the request but bound to fulfill it, Herod had John executed and beheaded. John is killed in the performance of the task he was given. This forerunner of the Christ was martyred, proclaiming the nearness of the kingdom of heaven. He preceded the Christ in death, who suffered and died on the cross to accomplish his divine task, the salvation of the world. John proclaimed the coming of the kingdom of heaven, and in the crucifixion of the Christ, the kingdom of heaven has come. Now John is assembled with the saints and martyrs who are under the altar praying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" He is one in the number of the kingdom of heaven. He has proclaimed the nearness of the kingdom of heaven. Now he enjoys it and wonders how long until those to whom his message, repentance and baptism for the forgiveness of sins, enjoy the eternal presence of the Lord with him. John's message is still valid today. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. The kingdom of heaven is near. Repent of all your sins because the very presence of the Lord of creation is upon us. He is just and merciful. Be baptized as a seal of the faith you are given in and with the forgiveness of sins. Jesus Christ is your Savior. The kingdom of heaven is near. For centuries since the martyrdom of St. John the Baptist, this has been the message proclaimed by the cult ministers of Christ to the flocks of Christians entrusted to their care. Their care, which involves the confession and forgiveness of sins, requires the pointing out of sins for that which they are, preaching the law in order to kill the old Adam in his charges. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The sin which you deny yet still cling to will kill you. These called ministers can, at the Lord's Supper, point to the altar upon which sits bread and wine and declare to the people, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." There, hidden in forms of bread and wine, are the very body and the very blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, his way having been prepared in the wilderness by John. He gives of himself for the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Here, from these lips, is proclaimed the truth of the forgiveness you need. There, at the table of the Lord, is the forgiveness you require. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. It is prepared for you upon the altar. And to be sure, there will be Herodiases in the midst of many and every congregation. No one likes having their faults pointed out. Some will recognize God in the pointing and repent. Others will have a difficult time looking past the man doing the pointing by the command and in the stead of Christ and reject the proclamation. Mudslinging will ensue, slander and rumors and lies and false accusations, all made in an attempt to cover up their own sins. If they can make themselves look better, that solves the problem. Make enough noise to drown out the call to repentance, and no one will hear it. You have silenced your critic, like Herodias silenced John. But to those who receive the messenger, receive the one who sent him, and he who receives the one who sent the messenger receives the Father who sent him. To those who receive the message to repent is given the forgiveness of sins through holy absolution, the Lord's Supper. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is verily present now, taking away your sin in your hearing and in your eating and drinking. And John's message is not only for those sitting in churches listening to a preacher. Jesus Christ is the Savior of all men. He is the light of the world. John's message is for the entire world. Now a part of the flock, how can we not speak of repentance and baptism and the nearness of the kingdom of heaven to a world in desperate need of this message? Those who have ears will hear. Those who have eyes will see. They will repent, be baptized, and be added to the number who have their names written in the book of life. Through the word proclaimed, they will receive faith and the forgiveness of sins and share in the joys of eternal life with those proclaiming the message. But again, we are certain that there will be Herodiases beyond the walls of the sanctuary known as the church. No matter how often they are told that Jesus Christ is their Savior, they will refuse it. no matter the strength with which it is told them that their sins condemn them and kill them for eternity, they will deny it. They will speak out against the faithful in the church, crying foul for forcing beliefs and morals on them. They will seek ways to silence the church's proclamation of repentance and baptism for the forgiveness of sins, because the kingdom of heaven is near. Because if they can silence their critics, they prove their righteousness to themselves, and in their minds can boast of being righteous to the world. Why do I tell you all of this? So that you are prepared. So that you are prepared for a time when your own sins are pointed out to you. So that you can receive the forgiveness of your sins and have the burdensome weight of it lifted from your shoulders and see it crucified with Christ. So that you are prepared for the battle you will find yourselves in as you bear the name of Christ to a world that desperately needs him, but will refuse him and you because of him. So that you can sing in full faith and confidence the hymn we just sang, "If thou but suffer God to guide thee and hope in him through all thy ways, he'll give thee strength whate'er betide thee and bear thee through the evil days. Who trusts in God's unchanging love builds on the rock that naught can move. God knows full well when times of gladness shall be the needful thing for thee, when he has tried thy soul with sadness and from all guile has found thee free. He comes to thee all unaware and makes thee own his loving care. Nor think amid the fiery trial that God has cast thee off unheard, that he whose hopes meet no denial must surely be of God preferred. Time passes and much change doth bring and sets a bound to everything. Sing, pray, and keep his ways unswerving. Perform thy duties faithfully, and trust his word though undeserving. Thou yet shalt find it true for thee. God never yet forsook in need the soul that trusted him indeed. So that you can meet the trials and temptations of this life in God-given faith in Christ, following the example of St. John the Baptist and fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. John, who had his eyes fixed ever on his cousin, was martyred and now prays in the presence of Christ, "How long, O Lord?" He prays for you, dear baptized. He now wears a white robe washed clean in the blood of the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world, having heard the answer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, who would be killed as they were, was completed. So that you can come to know and continue to know that it is God who sustains you in the church militant, giving you strength to meet your weaknesses, having riches to meet all of your needs, making a way out from under temptation so that it is bearable, giving you the words to say when you can think of none yourself, and interceding for you with words that you cannot express. Christ our Lord says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness." So let us echo with St. Paul, "Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." How long, O Lord? Just a while longer, so we can expect, until that time is completed. Until then, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. He is here giving you all that you need to support and sustain you for this life and into the life of the world to come. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Dear baptized, you have been joined by your baptism to his, joined in the likeness of his death. Therefore, you are certainly joined in the likeness of his resurrection with St. John the Baptist. and all the saints under the altar in heaven, for you are forgiven for all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.